We've got to get out of the open, I said, thinking out loud. Michael, head for the ticketing counter. Can't you clear the way? Michael asked. I can cover you. I can't see in this crap, I said. And there are other people in here. If I start tossing power around, I could kill somebody. Then stay close, Michael said. He moved out at a stalk, sword held high over his head, ready to sweep down on top of anything stupid enough to come leaping at him. We went over two dead hobs, both of them covered in blue flames that gave off barely any light, but consumed the bodies with voracious rapidity. I heard a scuffle of claws on the floor and shouted a wordless cry. Michael pivoted smoothly as a hob, armed with a pair of stone axes, rushed into the light of the holy sword. The dark fairy flung one of its axes at Michael on the way. My friend slapped it aside with a contemptuous flick of his sword and met the hob with a horizontal slash that shattered its second axe and split open its torso all the way back to its crooked spine. The hob dropped, spewing flame, and Michael kicked its falling body back into its companions, scattering them for a moment and gaining us another 20 feet. Nice, I said, keeping close, trying to watch the bobbing shadows all around us. You been working out? You look good. Michael's teeth flashed in a quick smile. Wouldn't speaking give these creatures a fine means of target? He broke off as Amarakius flicked in front of my face, deflecting a tumbling stone knife. Targeting us, he continued. Me and my big mouth. I shut up the rest of the way to the ticketing counter. I led Michael around behind it and all but tripped over the form of a wounded man in a business suit. He let out a choked scream of pain and clutched at the bloodied cloth over his lower leg. There was a broken shard of a stone blade still protruding from the man's leg. Harry, Michael said, keep moving. They're gathering for a rush. Okay, I said. I knelt down by the wounded businessman and said, come on, buddy. This is no place to be sitting around. I grabbed him underneath the arms and started backpedaling down the counter. There's a doorway back here somewhere. Goes to the rear area. Perfect, Michael said. I can hold that for as long as you need. The wounded man struggled to help me, but mostly all he did was make it harder to move him. He was making continuous sounds of terror and pain. I was glad that we had the barrier of the counter between us and the encroaching hobs. I didn't particularly care to find out what getting hit with a sharp stone axe felt like. We reached the door behind the ticketing counter, which was closed. I jiggled the handle, but it was apparently locked. I didn't have time for this crap. I lifted my right hand and focused on one of the energy rings I wore. There was one of them on each finger, a band made of three rings woven into a braid. The rings stored energy, saving back a little every time I moved my arm, and allowing me to unleash that stored energy all in one spot. I brought my will to bear on the door as I lifted my hand in a closed fist, focusing the energy of the rings into as small an area as I could. I hadn't designed them for this kind of work. They'd been made to shove things roughly away from me before they could rip my face off, but I didn't have a lot of time to waste putting together something neater. So I aimed as best I could, triggered the ring, and watched it rip the doorknob, the lock, and the plate they were all mounted in right out of the door, to send them tumbling into the room beyond. Unimpeded by any of those pesky metal security fittings, the door swung inward.
Come on,
I said to Michael, seizing the wounded man again. Mouse, lead the way. My dog padded through the doorway, crouched low and with his teeth bared. I practically walked on his tail as I came in behind him, and Michael was all but treading on the wounded man's bloodied leg. As the light from Amarakius illuminated the room we entered, it revealed the harried customer service rep we'd seen a few minutes before. She knelt on the floor, crucifix in hand, her head bowed as she frantically recited a prayer. As the light fell over her, she blinked and looked up. The white fire of the holy sword painted the tear streaks on her face silver as her mouth dropped open in an expression of shock and stunned joy. She looked down at her crucifix and back up at him again. Michael took a quick glance around the room, smiled at the woman and said, of course,
he's there.
Of course, he listens. He paused, then admitted, granted, he doesn't always answer quite this quickly. There were other people in the room, the customers she'd been trying to find a hotel for. When things had gone dark and scary, she had somehow rounded them up and gotten them into the room. That took a lot more moxie than most people had. I also noted that she'd been kneeling between the customers in the doorway. I liked her already.